John Batchelor with my good colleague, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. He's traveling. He's in Quito, the capital of Ecuador. But we turn our attention to Salvador, San Salvador, the capital of El Salvador. The very popular president, Nayib Bukele, recently making a most successful trip to Washington to sit with the president of the United States in the Oval Office, made remarks these last days that I found immediately witty. And that is, I'm accustomed to it. And Bukele is a shrewd, younger leader in Latin America. He's done things such as buy lots of bitcoins when it was not as depressed as it became, but certainly down from where it is right now, and watch his bitcoin hoard grow exponentially. He's also recommended using a semi-active volcano in El Salvador as a source of energy in order to mine more bitcoins. Whether that happens or not, it's clever. Now, in addition to cleverness, he's showing himself to be a shrewd regional and maybe geopolitical actor. Evan, all eyes on El Salvador for the moment. Mr. Bukele came out and told the world, but especially directed his remarks at Nicolas Maduro, the dictator and illegitimate president of Venezuela. I'll tell you what, President Maduro, I've got 252, I think that was the number, of your Trandiaragua transnational gang in my jails. I'll send them to you if you return an equal number of political prisoners that you hold after the suppression of the opposition that won the last race. I believe Venezuela holds the most political prisoners in all of Latin America. Now, that was downright clever, Professor. Did Bukele get credit for it in Washington, or was this seen as just snarkiness?
It certainly was a very astute move, and it goes back to the complex maneuvering that probably for the students of foreign policy puts all of the rules, upside down. Because really what you have is not only a very astute leader who is media savvy and is connected with the people in his own country and through his New Ideas Party has accumulated exceptional power that he's used to bring violence down from literally it was 104th per 100,000 murderers back just a couple of years ago to literally 3 per 100,000 now, roughly as safe, if not safer than some parts of Canada. But also what you see is Bukele, very astute politically, cooperating closely with the Trump administration to create a bit of a legal loophole that we are fighting over right now in the U.S. courts. And that is on the one hand, Bukele's detention facility, which is able to hold 40,000 people, may hold more. Bukele has essentially made his jail available for pay, receiving about $6 million from the Trump administration for not only receiving Venezuelans and others deported, but essentially putting them in that detention facility. Now, in the U.S., which traditionally has had to deal with due process for deporting immigrants, to be able to say that under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act, you can deport these immigrants without due process. And you have a partner, Bukele, who's not only willing to receive non-Salvadoran immigrants, but essentially lock them up. That creates not only a strong deterrent in the United States. If you're an immigrant and you suddenly realize that you can be rounded up and deported for suspicion of gang membership, because you have a tattoo or somebody has rumored that you might be a gang member, as has been the case with some of the cases that are in the U.S. courts right now. That is a strong deterrent against staying in the United States. It's a way that President Trump has been able to get certain classes of immigrants out quickly. And it also, it's a relationship of convenience between President Trump and Bukele, as we saw from the meeting in Washington, that really supports the domestic agendas of both sides. Trump is able to work against these immigrant threats and appear successful and largely circumvent the U.S. legal system through that loophole. Bukele is able to be one of the best friends of one of the strongest men in the world and certainly escape President Trump's wrath in other areas. And what you see also is that in his astuteness, President Bukele is seeking to help Trump score points against Nicolas Maduro, saying, well, hey, you know, Maduro, you know, you have been rounding up political prisoners in Venezuela. You have an authoritarian state. Indeed, the calculation is that in Venezuela, there are some 900 political prisoners, including 68 foreigners and maybe as many as 10 American citizens. And so, again, Bukele, his comments allowed him not only to score points as you know, in support of President Trump's agenda, saying, hey, Maduro, you know, you have these political prisoners. But in many ways, it deflects the attention and the criticism away from Bukele for essentially putting people that Trump sends down without question into a Salvadoran jail without due process, not only in the U.S. side, but without any question of why El Salvador is putting in prison somebody else's prisoner without having committed any crimes in El Salvador. So it's a lot of political posturing. It's a lot of maneuvering. And it's really in a fascinating case of when two leaders of different countries help each other in ways that support their domestic needs and circumvent some of the constraints that each face in their own domestic systems.
We have just a minute. Panama, the visits by the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense have led to what I'm told will be a rotating deployment of U.S. personnel in Panama.
This is squaring the circle between President Mulino in Panama and the Trump administration, especially Secretary of Defense Hegseth, who just visited last week. President Mulino does not want, for political reasons and other reasons, to be able to say that U.S. troops are formally returning to be stationed in Panama as they were when Southcom was there just 30 years ago. Secretary Hegseth wants to implement President Trump's agenda and be able to say that, yes, as we committed to, we have put troops in Panama. And so doing a rotational presence where they're technically not permanently there, but again, supporting Molino, but where Pete Hegseth can say that he's implementing President Trump's will, that we do have a presence of U.S. troops there, just like the U.S. does in Darwin, Australia. And again, it allows Secretary Hegseth to weave that tight space between President Trump's agenda and the concerns of domestic politics and sovereignty of our Panamanian partners.
Professor Evan Ellis.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.